After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
Hi, and welcome back to Ram Dass Here and Now, and I'm Raghu Marcus, and today we have a highly unusual talk from Ram Dass it's unusual in a couple of ways. This is taken from a talk he gave at the University of Kansas. And he gave this talk September 26, 1973. That was about literally 2 weeks and a day. Actually, 2 weeks from the day that Neem Karoli Baba Maharaji left his body in 1973. So we were all in India. We went back for, various ceremonies and so on. And we all flew over together on a plane, Ram Dass and, it must have been maybe 20 of us or something. And it was a highly charged moment, as you can imagine. And I don't remember how long he was there. But, I remember being there a few weeks myself. He must have come back. So he had just come back from India, and he gave this talk. And this talk, this part of the talk, is one of he talks about the two dominant themes, reaching for God and the mother, all form being the mother. The mother is Shakti, energy of the universe. And he talks about consuming the mother, meaning all of the negative and positive, all of the violence, all of the beauty, consuming Kali, which is the emblem in India of the goddess who consumes ignorance, who kills ignorance. But the way that he, just his vibration in this lecture, I found highly unusual. It was very striking in his exhortation to the audience that he was with that night to just get on with it. He talked about, you're caught up in anger, let it go. You're caught up in desire, just let it go. And he referred to Maharaji who, and I remember Maharaji saying to us, you have a desire to drink this tea, this chai, don't drink it. It was like this very, Maharaji coming from the undivided, simple, just if you, and as Ram Dass goes on, he talks about if you want, this is the big leagues. If you want to be in the big leagues, you got to get down and dirty and let it go. And, it's that kind, he had that kind of, as you'll hear, energy in this talk. Really pretty interesting. And he talked about, giving it up. You give up your stuff to mother, to Kali, to guru, to Maharaji, and to Ram Dass. He actually put himself in there. I've never heard him do anything like that. But I would relate my own experience, actually, in talking about Mother as Shakti and Mother manifest universe. And he mentions here Ramakrishna. I know many of you know who Sri Ramakrishna is. He lived in the last century, and he was one of the great spiritual beings from the last century. And he was a devotee of Kali. He lived near Calcutta in an ashram called, ashram called Dakshineshwar, which many people go on pilgrimage to this day. Swami Vivekananda, who came to America, one of the first Swamis, Eastern spiritual beings to come here, was a close devotee, disciple rather, of Sri Ramakrishna. And there's a great book written by a man called Sri M., The Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Now, I encountered that. I first went to India, and I ended up at the Sri Aurobindo ashram because Maharaji Ramdas, I had written him, and he said, well, we don't know where Maharaji is. And he was he and a bunch of people went off to do these Vipassana courses in Bodh Gaya. And I was in South India and ended up at the Sri Ramakrishna, at the Sri Aurobindo ashram, and where the resident saint was called Mother. She was a French woman, I think I've mentioned this before, who was sort of the spiritual sidekick of Sri Aurobindo, who was an incredible philosopher saint. And so she was alive when I was there, and she was very old, and I think she probably had Parkinson's or something. She had lost motor control over different parts of her body, which I had heard, but she finally got well enough so she was seeing people. So I eventually saw her, but before I saw her, somebody gave me this book, and I had no idea. I mean, I was 20-odd years old. About what Mother meant and what Shakti meant. And I started reading this book, and I completely got absorbed deeply into it. And I had what you would call, an understanding that was more centered in the mind than it was in the heart, in the, true experiential place from which we get a vastly more direct hit. But I got something from the book. The book is really powerful. I mean, he was an amazing being. The way that he reached out to Kali and the way that he related with her and the way that he loved her, where he would merge with her and he would go into these incredible samadhis, trances. And you can see pictures of him, actually, if you go up on the net. You'll see pictures of him in trance they took from way back then. It was a very special experience for me. Just reading this book and being out in a place called Auroville. I was out, it's sort of a desert by the sea in a place called Pondicherry, India. Amazing place. And I was alone, I was living in this weird kind of building with a big picture of the mother. And it was open on either end. So I was kind of living out in the open in the middle of India or on the east coast of India and reading this book and completely getting absorbed. So finally, I got to have darshan of Mother. And so I went up and you're supposed to bring something, prasad. In the case of this particular tradition, you would bring a flower each flower would have a different spiritual significance. And I don't know, I wasn't into it. I like bananas. So I got some bananas, and I brought bananas, and I'm standing there waiting to go in. It was a line of people, and you get to go in one at a time. And the guy at the door was this Swami he looked like if you had died and gone to heaven, and, instead of Saint Peter, you'd have this guy. Long flowing hair and beard and bright eyes and, huge. He was like, 6'4". He was amazing. And I was scared shitless going in there. Thought, oh God, I'm just going to get caught up in this, you know, very elderly lady's, you know, loss of motor control, and I'll be a schmuck because I won't see the... Anyhow, the door opened. He escorted me in, and it was just like out of those books. I did not see that body. She contacted me with her eyes, and it was just light. I mean, and I, folks, have... No, not an astral bone inside me. I don't see anything. I don't, you know, nothing. But in this case, I experience what they talk about when they talk about just entering a room with a holy person and seeing light. And so they sat me down in front of her, and I gave her the bananas, and she was like delighted. She was French. So she went, "Oh, banane. Well, very nice." And then she just... In that moment, and I don't think, I mean, they probably let me, it seemed like it was an hour, but it was probably just a few minutes, and I got complete, and she just contacted me, you know, eye contact, and I got absorbed and into that which is called Mother, Goddess, Shakti. And there was a real meeting there and an absorption, and I had never experienced anything like that in my life before. And then I couldn't move, and this tall, beautiful Swami had to come and, okay, time, and he kind of grabbed me to get out. I couldn't leave at that point. So it was a tremendous experience. And actually, and I do believe I've told this story, but later on, when I finally did meet Neem Karoli Baba, meet Maharaji, I had come there from another ashram Swami Muktananda's ashram in near Bombay. I had come from there directly up to, because they had told, Ramdas had told me, well, you can meet him now. He's back in the foothills of the Himalayas. And so I had come from, Maharaji says, well, where were you before you came here? And I'm about to say, well, I was at Swami Muktananda's. And then before I could say a word, he looked at me and he pointed his finger at me. And in the sweetest voice that encapsulated the whole experience I had with Mother, he went, Mother. And then I understood that this was a bit of a, I had a sort of a, you know, I went to school a little bit prior to getting to Maharaji with Mother of Sri Aurobindo Ashram. So this talk of Ramdas has really brought back, you know, all of that, all of those, that particular memory and that particular experience. And I think Maharaji would go on with us over and over, day after day after day, in those early days, about what Mother is. And, you know, and it was really, I mean, and you can hear it. I mean, if you, those of you who love Krishna Das, you can hear it in his devotion to the Mother in the prayers and songs he sings to Kali and Durga. And and then, there's this one great quote, so I just want to read this quote from Ram Dass, because it really, it's really a truth that I think is completely important. So he talks about, you know, all of sadhanas ultimately becomes the preparation of your body, heart, and mind to receive God. And so he says, and all of the intercourse with God, the tantric merging with God, the consuming and being impregnated and drawing to you of the Mother, all of this is in the absolute purity that comes only when you have transcended, not denied, transcended, by acknowledging all of your sexual panic, all of your power panic, and all of your survival panic. Okay, so this, yeah, and these are the most, you know, essential, of course, anywhere in the world, but in the West, where we are so caught up with sexual panic, power panic, and survival panic, and not, again, not more than, not really, there may be ways that we're caught up more sexually than other cultures, but this consuming and this merging can only happen when these things are transcended. This is a really great piece. It's a small part of the talk, but it's really S&C. So I hope you enjoy it the way I did. It brought back a lot of stuff for me. So I must mention, please continue to support us at Ramdas.org, Love, Serve, Remember Foundation. And I want to tell you about the paperback book of Polishing the Mirror will be available on September 1st, and it will be available alongside of the audio version. Rameshwar Das, who wrote the book with Ram Dass, read Polishing the Mirror, and it will be available at the same time. So that's a nice thing, because you can just take that, download it, and take it wherever you go and listen to it on the go, kind of like the way you probably listen to some of these podcasts. That's coming up. And when you listen to this, by the way, folks, I shall be on a retreat in India, back at the ashram where I first met Maharaji, and happy to do that, and happy to share with everybody when I get back that experience. Meanwhile, everybody, thank you again for your support. Continue to support us at ramdas.org, and I will see you next time on Ram Dass Here and Now.
I'll tell you what my reality looks like at this moment, just to share with you. There are two things in the reality in which I function in that are the dominant theme. One of them is the mother, and the other is God. The entire universe, all of its forms, all form is the mother. You are all part of the mother. My body is part of the mother. I feed on the mother. I absorb the mother. I drink the mother. I feed at the breast of the mother continuously. The mother is the Shakti, is the juice, is the vibration, is the energy of the universe. I keep growing in size as I feed more and more and more and more. I have to consume the mother. I consume all of it. I have to consume the violence, the beauty. I have to consume Kali, that aspect of the mother which goes with dagger to destroy those things that keep people from God. The fierceness of Kali. I have to consume Kali. I have to consume the beauty of the universe. I have to take it in, not digest it so it doesn't exist anymore, but hold it all in my heart so that I'm acknowledging it all. So I am consuming the mother, and I am taking all that energy and using it in order to stay with God. Father, Son, and the mother is the Holy Spirit. Spirit made manifest. And the Son returns to the Father through the Holy Spirit. So that I worship the Mother, just as Ramakrishna did. I worship the Mother, consume the Mother, make love to the Mother. I make love to the universe. But in truth, I am the bride of God. For in truth, this game is the game of returning to God. Or put another way, in tantric terms, in true tantra, not in phony man-made tantra, it is intercourse with God, in which you become both the lingam and the yoni, in which you become both that which thrusts forth into God and that which opens to receive God. You are both. And any worldly ecstasy you know, or bliss, is as nothing compared to the ecstasy and bliss as your body enters into samadhi, as your breath stops, as your pulse stops, and as you sit in on the edge of being in God. For then you are beginning to know that part of yourself which is the energy of the universe. And all of the sadhana ultimately becomes the preparation of your body, your heart, and your mind to receive your lover, to receive God. That's what it's about. Because when the Shakti enters your body, if your body is not strong enough, it will rip you to shreds. If your heart is not open and you try to go to God, it will become dry and brittle and you will go insane. Until you have a discipline that ultimately you crave, not she needs discipline, not that kind, but let me be disciplined so that you can sit with spine straight so that the Shakti moves in an appropriate way. You can sit and you can ask God, let me know you, God. I love you, God. I feel you, God. And breathe in the mother through your heart and take that and go with it up through the seventh chakra, the thousand petal lotus, go above it and go back to the Father, which is what Christ asked you to do in the first place. I come to you to bring you to the Father. And all of that, the intercourse with God, the consuming and being impregnated and impregnating and drawing to you of the mother, all of this is in the absolute purity that comes only when you have transcended, not denied, but transcended by acknowledging all of your sexual panic, all of your power panic, all of your survival panic. Because if you try to grab God prematurely, it will destroy you. It's as simple as that. And the game becomes very interesting. Whether you are so eager to have it that you will take it at whatever cost, even at your own destruction, which merely means new karma, which means you go around again and again. Or do you want it in perfection? In perfection, in which case you balance, move slowly, develop strength, clean up your game, get yourself purified. Meaning tuning, listening, hearing, cleaning up, strengthening, straightening, lightening, orienting your life more towards the awakening than staying asleep. The path of going into God in truth is not an easy path. How difficult it is for you is a function of how much you're attached to your physical plane identity. But at the same moment as I tell you it's not an easy path, I repeat, you're hooked. So it doesn't matter whether it's an easy one or a difficult one. You can't get away anyway. And you will keep orienting and looking and listening just as you came here tonight. Now, you got more tonight than you can use, most of you. You're glutted. You're overloaded. It's pouring off you. There's much more than you need for the next 10 lifetimes, for many of you. Some of you were really thirsty and are drinking it up. Some of the stuff I've said tonight, 5 years from now, you say, oh, far out, like I'm doing with my guru. Oh, that's what he meant, far out. Just keep opening to you and opening and opening. What I'd really like to share with you, I could only share with you after you've done all the basic stuff. Until then, your minds won't allow it. Your fear, your lack of trust won't fully allow it. Because things I could tell you, you couldn't hear in purity. You can't handle the virgin birth, Virgin Mary. You can't handle it. Your minds won't allow it. You play with it. Your doubts work with it. There's a good example. Your minds will constantly try to explain it all away. I know, I have one of those minds. If someone does, when you understand that all of the gurus that have ever existed who have tasted of God, believe me, they want only to be in God, and then they choose by their choice to stay in form on these planes, this plane or the astral planes, in order to liberate other beings, then you understand what a sacrifice is about. That is what the Christ's sacrifice was not getting crucified. Christ's sacrifice is in taking form in the first place, in leaving the Father. That's the sacrifice. And for you, with your unworthiness, to realize that any being is sacrificing their existence, is making the total sacrifice of their being just for you, you can't handle it, and you'll get hysterical, and your mind will grab and do all kinds of weird stuff, because it's too heavy. Because you can't play in the major leagues until you have a major league mentality, and that means a hell of a lot of purification for all of us. I'm sure you've been in the situation where you've gotten into a relationship with somebody that is so pure and so delicate and so vibrationally exquisite at any moment. And then they'll say something, or you'll say something, or your mind will flick in, and there'll be something jarring, and it'll be like a ripping sensation. And it will hurt you very deeply, or hurt them. You didn't mean to do it, or they didn't mean to do it, but it just happened that way. Well, that's why some of this can't be shared, because there'd be too much of a ripping sensation. Because the rational mind is but a little system in this huge cosmology. But the rational mind wants to be the master. And it can't be. And it will fight to its death. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is about. Even a little of this got in, and you just start to look at your life just through these little different ways of perspectives of reality, and realize they're all relatively real. Honor them. Honor them. And how do you get on with it? The things that don't get you to God, you give up. What do you give up? Unworthiness. You don't go analyze it, you just give it up. You give up guilt. Guilt isn't going to get you to God. You give up anger. It's not going to get you there. You want to get there or you want to screw around? That's it. Preoccupation with your own melodrama. You want to hold on to it or you want to get on with it? God doesn't care. You're the one that's in a rush. You're the one that came here tonight. You want to get on with it? Give up. It's very simple. That's what the guru says. Maharaji said to me, Ramdas, you're angry? I said, yeah, I'm angry. And I was very righteous. He says, give it up. I said, but, he says, give it up. And he looked at me like, I'm your guru, and I just told you to give it up. It's as simple as that. I'm telling you, if you feel unworthy to be in the presence of God, give it up. Don't analyze it. Don't say, I'll plan to give it up. Do it now. Here, Ramdas, you take it. Here, Kali, you eat it. Kali eats it. Here, Ma, you eat it. She eats anger. She eats everything in you that keeps you from God. She loves it. She feeds on it. She fills. She gorges herself on all your impurities. She loves it. She'll come after you to get them. But she'll only come after you if you ask her to. If you don't ask her, she won't bother you at all. But the worst thing is if you ask her and then don't give them to her, then you're in for it. That's phony holy. You in truth want to give them up? Here, Kali Ma, you take it. And every time you fall on your face, you just get up, you brush yourself on off, and you get on with it. Cut out the melodrama. Oh, I've lost it. I'm blue. Screw that. That's just going to take more. That's not going to get you to God either. See, you get very ruthless with yourself. Do I want to get there? Let me do it. Stop screwing around. I'll do it. Unworthiness, self-pity, anger, lusts, greed, doubt, sloth, and torpor. and tension and anxiety. But aren't those real? Don't all psychologists say, oh, that's real? Huh. Sure, it's real to psychologists. You don't like the stuff? Give it up. I'll take it. Give it to me. I won't hold on to it. I'll send it to God. I won't get stuck with your karma. I won't take anything from you unless you give it to me. If you give it to me, I'll take it. I won't take anything unless you give it. Because if I took it from you without your wanting to give it, that's my problem then. And I got enough. Saras, without you. But you can at any time in your meditations, at any time, you can say to any being that is here in order to help liberate other beings, take my shit, take my stuff, take it from me. Ma, take it Ramdas, take it Maharaja, take it Ramana, take it Christ, take it Kali Ma, and then let it go. And then breathe into your heart and then talk to God. Very simple. Game gets very simple. You have truly been... You're beautiful. There's one other distinction, this distinction between mercy and caring, you know. If I were merciful, I would spend the whole evening trying to make you feel good, that you're really doing it well. Okay. But the problem is I'm too caring. I really care that you get to God. And caring doesn't make me merciful. I mean, I'm controlling my viciousness because there's a lot of Kali in me that would just... You know. But some of you have found it very uncomfortable being here because it's pushing you to look at stuff you don't want to look at just yet. And everybody says, but aren't you the guy that wrote in Be Here Now? It's all right? Sure. There's man's will and there's God's will. You have choice. Every choice you make can take you closer or further away. Day by day, minute by minute, choice by choice. And God, Guru, True Self just sits back and watches. But if you in truth reach up and say, help me, in truth, if you reach for God in truth, that is what elicits what's called grace. And then all of the beings who are there only to serve come forward to reach forth, as just in that picture in the Sistine Chapel of man and God touching. Then God reaches forth and brute force and helps you. But that only happens when you reach. That's man's will.
This podcast is brought to you by the Love Serve Remember Foundation and Ramdas.org. We appreciate you listening and we appreciate all the support that you've given us. Please continue that support and donate at Ramdas.org. We can then continue to share what Ramdas has been sharing for all of these years. Thank you.